Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good morning and welcome to hour three of the Roto Experts. Actually, soon it's going to be good afternoon. And if you're listening to us on demand, hey, good evening. Or how you doing there in the wee hours? You're glad with us, whether you're live or on demand, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Coming up this hour, my exclusive interview with Trey Turner of the Washington Nationals. Make sure you check out the Fantasy Baseball Weekly Planner on rotoexperts.com right now with our Brandon C. Williams, two-star pitchers to stream. And lots more. Let's take a look at some two-star pitchers for this week, shall we, George Kurtz?
Sure, on the Mark Belanger hour here, who, by the way, played till 82.
It was Belanger. Why do you turn everything British? Bob Ip.
You know, I don't really have any pet peeves, but you correcting every little thing could certainly be one of them. You must drive people
really
nuts.
Well, you started off the show with Seth Mania.
Like I said, you like to correct people. There he is. Yeah, you know, you might live here. I might have to kill you eventually.
Really? I finally brought out angry George Kurtz. It's taken me about 4 weeks, but I brought him out.
I don't get angry during. I don't really get angry during baseball season. It's too long. You know, football is different. You know, it's that one game. Things go wrong. You know, they can tick you off. Last year with all the non-catches certainly made everybody angry. We got the NFL draft. Are you a draft guy, Scott? You going to watch the draft Thursday?
Of course. Friday? It's like I'm a Saturday football fan. Why wouldn't I be a draft guy?
Oh, I know lots of football fans who don't watch the draft. So they think it's, you know, it's boring, really? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I think, you know, at least not the whole thing.
I have a job that maybe I have to need to be prepared for, though. So.
Yeah, I'm putting that on the side. Would you have watched it anyway if we didn't work in the industry?
I used to in the years leading up to the beginning of my career when I worked for this publication called Inside the Seahawks and other outlets, I used to actually go cover the draft live. And even when we started with Roto Experts, I used to cover the draft live. And when the draft used to be back in New York, I would stay there for the draft live.
What pick the Seahawks have, Scott? 18?
Yes.
Right before Dallas? All right, so you're going to steal my player? I'll be very upset. I'm still mad that they want to be angry. I'm mad Dallas won that last game of the season.
Why?
They would have dropped four slots.
Okay.
You know, and ended up being a tiebreaker with Seattle.
Realistic Cowboy fan. Realistic Cowboy fan. Actually, the Seahawks open up against the Cowboys in week 3 for their home opener.
Really? So Seahawks playing the first two games on the road.
Yeah.
Were you a big Denver, did you watch the schedule thing too?
I don't watch the schedule release. No. I'm not going to sit there and watch a schedule release. I could just look that up easily online.
Right. I mean, that's silly. I watched a little bit of it because I was watching the bowl game at one channel and I put that on. But it's like they're trying to predict who's going to win all these games. And they go team by team. Pittsburgh. Oh, we're going to give them a win week 1, loss week 2. Are you kidding me? People actually buying this? That you're going to be able to predict in April what the people are going to do in September? Yeah, okay. That's accurate. No issues there. But yeah, I do like the draft. I guess the question for you is, do you like the new format where they do the first round on Thursday, next two on Friday, and the rest on Saturday? Or did you like it better it was all on Saturday and Sunday?
Both of them are fine to me. I don't think I have a preference.
And everybody wants to know, are you watching the network? Are you watching Fox? Are you going to watch it on ESPN? Where is Scott watching the draft?
I will say this. I will preface it this way. I prefer the NFL Network for everything else. but I'll still watch ESPN for the draft coverage. I like the way they show film and things like that, and the way they break it down. It's probably the one thing that I prefer ESPN to the NFL Network over. If they got rid of ESPN completely, I might not notice anymore at this point, because I watch the MLB Network for baseball. I can watch NBA TV. My NASCAR fix I can get online if I want, or somewhere else. Though Speed Vision, it doesn't exist anymore, but Fox Sports 1 does a lot of NASCAR coverage. So I really don't need ESPN, except for maybe when the season's crossed like this and you got the NBA playoffs along with baseball. But if they got rid of it, I probably wouldn't notice, to be honest with you.
Yeah, NFL is sending us...
I can go with all my apps on the Xbox and get everything else I want.
Yeah, I like NFL Live and ESPN. I watch that often in the afternoon.
I'd rather watch around the league on the NFL Network.
I don't watch the network all that. I guess I just like some of the personalities better. Not all of them, but some of them. I'm a big Lewis Riddick guy. I think he's great at what he does. So I enjoy that. But I'm looking forward to the draft. I am so involved
with ESPN. Ed, one of a top level talent recently for its pre draft coverage. They're trying to sway me with these new Russell Wilson hosted shows over there. You know.
Yes, so I saw. Did you watch the other? Was it the quarterback show the other day?
I haven't caught any of them yet, but I have recorded them, and I'm going to watch them.
Yeah, that was good. You'll like that. That was good. Russell Wilson's he's a hard person not to like. Yeah, and I'm not just saying that because he was traded to the Yankees. You know, he's going to be our future second baseman. Sorry, Scott. He's not going to play quarterback anymore. You know that, right? Future second baseman for
the
Yankees.
He's the best quarterback in New York.
That's not even all that close.
Yes.
He certainly is. Giants at number two, Scott. Is this all just BS? They're going to take Barkley? Are they all just doing a smoke screen here?
I think they're going to take Barkley. You know, generational
player.
They're going
to take Barkley.
Even better than Ezekiel Elliott from some scouts.
But what are you going to do when you don't have a quarterback?
I think Eli Manning is not quite done yet, and they could probably wait another year or two.
Yeah, but you won't draft this high again. It won't matter if you can wait.
Last year, no Odell Beckham Jr., no blocking, no run support. No quarterback can succeed like that. I think Eli can still make a lot of throws. A lot of good quarterbacks there, but I think the Giants are going to take Barkley or trade back.
I agree with you, actually. I think it's a mistake by the Giants, but I agree with that because that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to take Barkley at 2 or trade back. I just think it's a mistake. You can't win without a quarterback in this day and age. You're not going to be drafting this high again. Yeah, Giants weren't a terrible team.
As Tony Sincott has pointed out, and Jake Seeley has pointed out, only 33% of first-round quarterbacks end up being successful.
But that doesn't matter. As a quarterback, you need to take your chances when you have the chance to take. You have to. Unless Gettleman hates them all, or only likes Darnold. I mean, we know Sam's probably going to the Cleveland. You know, that's the case, then I don't really. If he hates the others, he thinks they're all going to be bust. That's fine if you have no conviction. But if he thinks there's a second good quarterback, I don't think you have a choice here, and not in today's NFL. I do think Barkley's maybe the best player in the draft, but in today's NFL,
they might be going best player available over what some people would think their need is.
But in today's NFL, you have to take a quarterback if you're up that early, and there's good ones there, and there are good ones there. Yeah, I mean.
Oh yeah, there's going to be maybe one gone, and still like another good three or four to pick from.
I think it's curious what the Giants are going to do. I'm curious about what New England's going to do, because if they use both of their first round picks to either move up and take a quarterback, or if they take a quarterback, I mean, you'd have traded Garoppolo last year for a second round pick, and then spent more during this draft to get another quarterback, a quarterback that won't be as good as Garoppolo for a couple of years
to trade with the Giants.
The Giants would want more, though. Where the Patriots are at, what are they at, 31 and 23? You need more than that to get up to 2. Probably next year's number one, and maybe more than that. Because I think the Giants would assume next year they'll be lower in the things. I don't think they have enough. I think they have enough to get, you know, maybe into the bottom of the top 10.
Top
12, top 13, somewhere around there. I don't think they certainly can't get to number 2 unless they really want to overpay, and I don't see Belichick doing that. But if all the signals are true, if they want to take a quarterback, I'm going to find that strange. And then you traded Garoppolo, got a second-round pick, and you're going to spend more capital in this draft to take our backup quarterback. I mean, just weird. It's been a strange offseason for New England. You know, so I find that strange. I wonder what Denver's going to do at five. You know, let's say, you know, the Giants do take Barkley at two and the Cleveland Browns at four take Chubb. Does that mean the Broncos now do take a quarterback at five? You know, do the what would the Buffalo Bills do? If you're looking for a team that might trade with the Giants to get the two, I think Buffalo
you
could
look
be
at,
it.
You look at Jake Seeley's mock NFL draft right now on rotoexperts.com and his rookie ranks. He thinks the Bills are going to be the ones to trade into the number two spot and take a quarterback.
I would agree. If I was, unless, like I said, if the Giants were to take Barkley and then the Browns take Chubb, then I could see the Bills go to Denver, see if Denver doesn't want to take a quarterback. If Elway's had, you know, had enough of this taking young quarterback that it's not working out, I could see that being there. I also wonder this. Could Cleveland trade it as a number four spot if someone, a team like a Buffalo Bills or someone else wants to give multiple picks there and to get more depth? Can they pass on Chubb in this scenario?
I don't know, man. They might be past the point of trading for depth because, you know, this is, I think, what Cleveland ultimately wanted. They have two of the top five picks right now. You know, this is kind of what they were positioning for, I think, over the last few years. I think, you know, why move out of that position? When you can get two of the top four players, I think you got to do it. You see, how many teams are ever in that position?
I would agree with you. And like I said, I'm taking my number one quarterback, whoever it might be. You know, whatever Ken Dorsey believes is his number one quarterback, if it's Darnold Gray, if it's Rosen, whoever, you take that guy. And at four, I'm hoping it's Barkley. But if not, I'm taking Chubb.
I don't know if they're going to trade Barkley because they signed Carlos Hyde and they have Duke Johnson.
And Duke Johnson's not that prototypical running back. He's a third down guy there. If Barkley's there at four.
I'm saying that, you know, he's a complement to Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde is the regular ball carrier. Duke Johnson is a tremendous receiving quarterback, running back. You're talking about need. Do they really need a running back at number four?
No. I mean, you're right. They could survive without it, but everyone's saying Barkley's the best player in this draft. Generational talent, you mentioned, better than Elliott. I mean, I think it'd be tough for Dorsey to pass up on that, unless he's in love with Chubb and he believes Chubb is the second best player in the draft who's going to transform a defensive line. You know, then I would get that. I just think it would be hard to pass up on Barkley. You know, because you give Barkley
I
with
think it's hard
your
to
young
pass
quarterback
up on him at number two.
I don't because the Giants don't have a quarterback. Cleveland's a different situation; they'll have their quarterback already. Do you think there's any truth to the rumor? I mean, any at all, that Dorsey could possibly pick two quarterbacks at one and four? Or is this all just BS trying to get people to offer a crazy draft pick?
I think that's complete wackiness. And if you do take two, you could trade one of them right away. I don't agree that the Giants, quote, don't have a quarterback, end quote. I'd still take Eli Manning over, you know, a lot of other quarterbacks in the league. You have to look at some of the surroundings that he had.
Define a lot. Technically, you know, six to eight is a lot, and I'll give you that. But that may be about it. Eli Manning.
I wouldn't say they don't have a quarterback, though.
No, I'm not saying that either. But you can't, what I'm saying is, you keep us in the point. You can't. You're not going to have a number two pick again. The Giants are not. The Cleveland Browns, where they're going to always be at the bottom here. Last year, they played terribly, but they're not a bad team. Things just didn't go well. And I agree with you about Eli. He does have something left, but it's not much. But he'll win you enough games where you'll maybe be a top 13, top 14 pick. And that's not going to get you a top quarterback unless you, once again, want to trade multiple picks to get there. It's a mistake for the Giants not to take unless Gettleman hates all the other guys, in which case I'm fine. But if he believes that there is a franchise quarterback after whoever Cleveland takes,
it's hard
then
not
I can't,
to at number
can't
two.
See how it's not
hard,
to.
It's hard not to at number two.
Hard not to what?
You know, believe that there's not a franchise guy there.
Well, there could be. I mean, everyone's saying there's these quarterbacks. Even Sam has issues.
There's still probably about a dozen or so quarterbacks, though, that at least that I'd rather have Eli Manning then.
So you're saying Eli Manning's top 20? I mean, I'm not going through the list here, so I'm not going
right about
I'm
that top 20. I'd still
right
have
doubt
him,
you.
Rather have than a Tyrod Taylor or Ryan Tannehill or even a Flacco at this point.
I think he'd be in the mix with all. I think he's better than Flacco. I think he'd be in the mix with all those guys. But the thing I keep coming up with, the Giants aren't going to draft this early again. They're not going to be whatever. 2-3 wins, and that means you're not going to get a top unless you're willing to give up multiple number ones, which hurts your team in the long haul. You know, that's why I think the Giants are crazy to pass this up unless Gettleman hates the other quarterbacks. And then I don't have a problem if he does. If he truly believes that, you know, Raul Rosen, go all down the list, the other three, four guys are not going to be good, then I don't have a problem with this. But if he believes there's a franchise quarterback there, then I don't think you can – I just don't think that you can not draft the quarterback in today's NFL. You need to take your chance on that guy and go with him. I think it's a mistake not to. As a Cowboy fan, Giants playing in the NFC East, I'm hoping they don't take a quarterback because I know they'll never be a consistent winner without it. Eli Manning doesn't scare anybody in this day and age. Hell, I hope they trade Odell Beckham, too. I know he's a problem, but Lord knows he's such a great wide receiver. And so I just think it's interesting for the Giants what they're going to do
here. I think if Eli Manning has Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham Jr., and Sterling Shepard, you know, surrounding him and the blocking somewhat improved, who knows? Maybe the Giants trade back and improve the offensive line, et cetera. But, you know, I don't think I can completely write him off as – you know, being respectable at this point. Maybe Barkley, as like in Jake Seeley's mock draft on rotoexperts.com right now, you know, maybe five is the perfect landing spot for him because the Broncos have Case Keenum and they have a hole at running back.
Oh, the Broncos would love it if he fell to five. And he could. It wouldn't shock me. They would love that, right? They just, yeah, they got rid of Anderson, but they need offensive line help too. I wonder if they would prefer, I don't remember the top offensive tackle's name here, but I think he's going in that five range. I wonder if the Broncos are right now planning on grabbing him, but if Barkley falls to Denver at five, I don't see how Elway passes that up.
Well, you know what I want to see, but it's not happening. Seahawks trade the first round of this year and next year and get in position to get Barkley.
That's a long ways to move up because, once again, you probably got to go to the Giants.
And it'd be the only way I'd throw in Earl Thomas, too, which I don't want to do. All right, more Giants NFL draft coverage. No, I'm not. Well, maybe to Cleveland. But more NFL draft coverage on rotoexperts.com, including all previews of all teams from Brandon Murchison. Trey Turner interview next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on the Roto Experts, back to baseball. Roto Experts at the Park continues, the Washington Nationals edition, and obviously this is maybe the one you've been waiting for. The first round pick with in fantasy baseball for a lot of people for the combination of speed and power. Here is my interview with Washington Nationals infielder Trey Turner. Scott Engel of the Fantasy Sports Network here with Trey Turner of the Nationals. Trey, I noticed so far you're third in the league in walks, and the numbers indicate that you're swinging less pitches outside the zone. Was maybe improving your on-base percentage, your plate discipline, a focus of yours during the offseason?
Yeah, I think this spring training, you know, I talked to the coaching staff, and it's one of the things we focused on, and I think, you know, so far it's been going in the right direction, and I feel pretty good.
Your game is to be very aggressive naturally with the way you steal bases. Dave Martinez has been very aggressive so far, and you guys lead the league in steals. How much fun are you having? How much does it play into your style?
Yeah, it's good. You know, I think he's given us the green light to run whenever we need to and whenever we want to. And I think, you know, we've done a good job at picking our spots and being smart about it as a team. And I know Mikey's made some good decisions out there. He's scored a lot of runs for us without even getting a hit. So, you know, I think that plays late in the season.
So, and you and Taylor, you know, just like you've just been talking, you feel like you guys are like a young sort of duo that really can terrorize defenses in the National League for a long time to come?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I think we feed off each other. We definitely talk about, you know, situations where, you know, what we see on a pitcher or what we are looking for. And I think that helps one another. And, you know, he's done a great job, like I said. You know, I think, you know, our averages are a little bit lower than what we want to see. But, you know, for us to get on base, I know he's walking a little bit too. For us to get on base and use our speed, it's big for us.
Your game has always been speed, even in the minors, but of course the game is different at the major league level, especially going into your first season here, first full season. What's different about base dealing at the majors for you?
I think it's always kind of been the same philosophy as, you know, what is, you know, the pitcher giving you that you can use to your advantage and pick up the next base when you're stealing, and then, you know, can you read it? You know, I think that's one thing I learned from Davey Lopes is being able to pick it up as fast as possible and, you know, continue to, I guess, relax out there, because sometimes people get stiff and tense, and, you know, just be calm in your reads and then continue to be aggressive.
What's it like to learn from like a legendary base dealer like Davey Lopes, and who are some of the other veterans, you know, who have you showed you the finer points of the game?
Yeah, you know, I think the coaching staff, you know, the last few years and this year as well, get a chance to pick everyone's brain. You know, especially Davey, has been great for me. I think Tim Bogar with this year has been really good for me, and Mikey as well. You know, he's a little more analytical than Davey was. Davey's a little old school, and you know, I think both sides play. You know, I think different guys give you different feels, and you know, I think we've picked up a lot from the coaching staffs over the last few years.
Who are some of your favorite base dealers growing up, or maybe some of the guys, your contemporaries that you admire too?
You know, I think I'm too young to, really remember Ricky Henderson, but I guess one of the guys that I loved watching play when I was younger was Jose Reyes over on the other side. You know, he was very exciting, and still very exciting, but, you know, he could hit the ball out of the ballpark, and then he could also, you know, steal base anytime, and I love that.
Last one for you. Because of your all-around abilities, your ability to run, to hit for power, not that you know how it works, you were first-round pick in a lot of fantasy baseball leagues this year. Do you take that as a compliment?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think when you're getting compared, you know, to all the other good players out there, I think, you know, that's always special. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of good people you could have picked from. So, you know, if I'm going up there, then that's nice to see.
So Trey Turner there talking about some of the influences. Davey Lopes retired from coaching finally after last year, but I got to work a lot with Trey Turner. Davey Lopes, second all-time in Dodgers history in stolen bases, and led the NL in stolen bases 1975, 1976. A lot of major leaguers, he's been an influence on their careers. So Trey Turner as well. Turner, so far hitting .247 with 8 steals, which places him second in baseball overall and first in the National League. Only has 9 runs scored so far, only hitting .247, but a .365 OBP. We have yet to see the best of Turner. There's a lot more good to come ahead, George.
Oh, I agree. No, Turner's going to be fine. First round pick, he'll be fine. I don't know if he'll ever... I said I couldn't take him in the top 3, top 5. I don't have him in any league, so I wasn't taking him that low. But his numbers will rebound. He'll be fine. I'm not worried about Turner at all. He'll be a good source of just about everything. I think, I guess, what, with 60-plus stolen bases? I think that's a possibility. Don't know if he'll quite reach there. 12 to 15 home runs, good batting average. He's an exciting player to watch, Scott.
Yeah, he certainly is. And, you know, even though he's off to a slow start, if you wanted to trade for Trey Turner, you're probably going to have to unload a lot, because guys like him and D. Gordon, that those type of steals are not easy to come by. And it's certainly not easy to come by the combination of pop and speed that you would get with Turner.
No, it's not. And Steven's stolen bases are becoming harder and harder to come by. I had a friend of mine, not in the industry, asked me the other day if we think 5-10 years down the line, if stolen bases is going to go the way of average in fantasy leagues, where it's slowly going to be disappearing as a category because it's not as important as it used to be.
Yeah, well, I wonder if more leagues are going to move to on-base percentage, though.
That's the point he's trying to make. Yeah. Will there be another category that takes over for stolen bases, sort of like OBP is starting to take over for average? Because, you know, a lot of teams don't believe in stolen bases, don't give up and out. You have to be successful at least 75-80% of the time.
Will another category come into vogue? Maybe quality starts over wins.
But that's for pitching.
I can't think of another hitting one, though.
I said the same thing. What stat can we put in that will make those players? You can't just put in like slugging, because that just adds to home runs. The home run, the slugging, you know, you can't do that. Same players get rewarded there. So that's the
fielding
issue there. But... I didn't think about that. Oh, God, yeah. I hope not. But it's because he made a point because, like I said, stolen base is not as important as it used to be. Some managers or teams don't believe in it at all with advanced analytics because you have to be safe at least 80% of the time. It's not worth giving up one of 27 outs. Yeah, so the point was made. I get it. We don't see as much running nowadays. I mean, I was thinking about yesterday during the Yankee game. I can't remember Brett Gardner attempting a stolen base this year. I'm sure he has, but I can't even remember that because the Yankees don't want anyone running in front of Stanton.
20-something, right? Yeah.
And he should be, and listen, Gardner should be stealing more. But the point was made to me, but I agree with you. The bottom line is what of a stack can we put in there? And probably none.
Yeah. Maybe quality starts on the pitching side. It'd be interesting.
Oh, that
talking
should
about
be.
Pitching.
I'm a big believer in that.
You are? Why?
Because, you know, I just wins are a product of what's going on. I mean, we all seen it. Oh, I won 9-8, but I got the win. The team won 1-9-8. Hey, he left and he had the lead.
Yeah.
You know, and then
he
vice
gave
versa.
Up seven runs,
1-0.
But I got the win. Yeah.
Right. And you lose 1-0 or 2-1, whatever it might be, and you got nothing.
Or Jacob McGrom last night, 7 innings pitch, home runs, 10 strikeouts, and I get nothing for it.
You didn't get rewarded.
Other than
the 10 strikeouts, you got rewarded.
In terms of win. I should have a quality start. I was in a league that a player had wins plus quality starts. I did like that.
I don't know if I like that as well. I don't know if I've been in a league like that, but I don't mind that. My only issue is I think if you're going to go quality starts, it has to be either 6 innings, 2 runs or 7-3. I don't like 6-3 because that's 4.5 ERA. And that, to me, that's not a quality start. So and I think you need to go more than 6 or maybe 6-plus innings. You know, at least go 6. And, you know, I just think 3 innings to your bullpen, a quality start, not good over the long haul here. So that's a pet peeve of mine because I don't like the quality start stat as it is written right now. Because to me, that's not a quality start. I think we need more than that. But I do like quality start over wins. I think that's a must. And I don't mind OBP over average. I probably actually prefer that too. Because I think average, as far as the baseball game itself, is a misleading stat.
Yeah, I was in a dynasty league the last 2 to 3 years before this that actually quit. I loved it. Wins plus quality starts, slugging percentage. It was 6x6. You had big minor league pool to pick from, and you can run with 5-6 minor league players. But the problem for me was that the commissioner was winning every year or getting close to winning every year.
Okay, that sort of brings up the question. Do you think he was doing something fishy, or was he that good?
Something. Yes, I think he was doing something fishy.
That's a shame.
It seemed like he was always in the race.
Yeah, you want to be jamming the stats.
And I've been burned like
bit.
That before. I was in the 1990s where I worked at when I was working at CBS Sportsline, and the commissioner would win every year, and then he quit the job, and on his way out, he told everybody that he was fixing the league, that he was going as a league manager every day and like boosting his team just a little bit every day.
Jeez, that's sad. That's sad. I was in a league. I was invited by somebody who used to work for us. That's where I was getting with this. I was in a league. Yeah. I wouldn't call it an expert league, but had a couple of experts in it. I was invited by somebody who used to work with us. And the commissioner, I think I finished second place that year, ran off with the money. And I think it was a 12-team league. We had, I think it was $200 in. So he laid off a couple $1,000s. You know, and it's like, wow. Yeah, I mean, obviously I didn't join that league again, but it's unscrupulous things happen. You're playing for money, you never know. You hope it doesn't. It's a game. You should be having fun. That's what I tell everybody. If you're not having fun in it, then you know maybe you need to do something else. It's a game first and foremost. But yeah, I've had stuff like that happen where people run off with money. I know people have cheated in the past. Usually it's more collusion on trades with two teams trying to get together more than anything else. And Lord knows you get lots of fights in these leagues, including in expert leagues, where guys are arguing with each other over certain things. The only thing that would, besides that, the only thing that would make me quit a league, outside of somebody cheating, that's gotten away with it, would be if we start changing rules after the season has started, and not everybody voted for it. That'll make me leave a league very quickly.
Yeah, I've. There's been certain leagues where just like. There was one league that I was in, was the original CBS Sportsline guys, Sportsline USA, that started in 96, and we said we were all going to stay in the league no matter what, so some of the original guys could remain in touch with each other. And, you know, after about, I would say, the 10th or 11th year, too many people started leaving and replacements, people I didn't know. And, you know, it just wasn't the same vibe anymore. And I eventually left.
Yeah, I mean, leagues, dynasty leagues are so tough. I mean, I'm only in one. It's one that's I've been in, I think, for 7-8 years now. But every year, it's a 16, might be a 17-team league. But every year, we have 3, 4, 5 new owners. You know, it never stays the same. Guys come, guys go. Dynasty leagues are tough because, you know, if your team sucks, you know you're not going to be good for a couple of years. You don't want to play. You know, and I think that's a shame because I think part of the fun, and I know I've got this with my football dynasty league, is my team used to be terrible, but I built it up. And now I've lost the championship the past 2 years, but at least I've reaped the benefits of building my team. I've seen that it's successful now. And that's part of the fun to me. It was bad at first, now it's good, but you have to have patience for a couple of years.
Yeah, that dynasty league was like fun to me. It's sometimes like I'll look at the guys that I drafted, like I had Ahmed Rosario, Gleyber Torres, Lewis Brinson, you know, they've all been promoted by now.
Let's take a look at the right moves. Absolutely. It's fun. I like dynasty leagues.
Yeah, let's look at some two-term pitchers. Coming up this week, Carlos Carrasco at Baltimore versus Seattle. You'll lock him in. Garrett Cole's off a terrific start. He's at home versus the Angels and Oakland. Obviously, you plug him in. Jose Barrios. At the Yankees and versus Cincinnati. A good one and a bad one, but obviously Barrios is in there for 2 starts. Robbie Ray at Philadelphia, at Washington. You're going to keep him in there. Rick Porcello's off to a 3-0 start. He's at Toronto and versus Tampa Bay. 2 great matchups. This would be an ideal day, maybe float out and see if you can trade Rick Porcello. Selling, saying, not only look at the good start, oh, he's back. If you're going to play salesmanship, oh, he's back to his Cy Young form, and he's got two terrific starts coming up, and you need pitching. Would you try to sell Rick Porcello today?
Anyone's tradable. You know, I think I'll say this about Porcello. I agree with everything you said. If you want to try and sell him, this is the week to do it. 3-0, Red Sox are playing great. You're going to get your Ws, blah, 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 blah. But I don't think you have to move him. I'm not saying he's going to win the Cy Young again, but I think he's found that form again. So I think he's going to be a useful starting pitcher for most of the season here. So, like I said, anyone's tradable if I get the right offer here, but I'm not looking to move him. There are certain players, Scott, where I'm looking to trade, and I'll take the best offer I can to get to move that player. That's not what Porcello is. Porcello is someone I'll trade if I get the offer I want. So it's a different thing there. I'm not looking for the best offer. I'm looking for the offer I want that I think, okay, this does help my team. This does make my team better. Because I believe in Porcello. You know, I think he's not the pitcher he was last year. He's close to the pitcher he was in 16. So I believe in Porcello. So I don't automatically want to move him. Before we go off these players, I got a couple questions in Slack the other day about Garrett Cole. Now I'm a big Garrett Cole believer.
For what George is talking about for Roto Experts exclusive edge subscribers from the preseason, you can access our Slack channel to get your questions regularly answered.
All right, so I think this is shows about how good Cole's been. Trade offer he got. He doesn't have Cole. To get Cole, would you trade Quintana and Luke Weaver?
No, I think that's given up too much. Luke Weaver is going to have a terrific season. He might be the same as Cole the rest of the way. So you're giving up too much.
I said the same with you. I'm not doing that. You're selling low on Quintana. That's what you're doing here. You know, I think Cole's the best out of those three. I'm not so sure it's all that close. But Quintana and Weaver's too much to give up. I'm not doing that. Then he had another offer. This one's, I think, is a little tougher to deal. It's a little tougher to figure out because it's not – you're not adding like parts. So, to get Aaron Judge, he'd have to give up Ozuna and Weaver. Obviously, the other owner wants Weaver. Would you give up Ozuna and Weaver for Judge? I assume this is not an OBP league because this would change it for me if it was. But there's also one other caveat here. To replace Weaver, he could pick up Eduardo Rodriguez. So in some ways, the trade would be Judge and Eduardo Rodriguez for Ozuna and Weaver.
First, when you put it the straight way, that's 2-for-1. I was going to say no, because as soon as yet to hit, and you know you're going to see at least 30 home runs at him. But if you could pick Eduardo Rodriguez, I would say go ahead and do it.
That's exactly what I said. You know, cause I think we forget that sometimes you have to look. If you're, it's a 2-for-1 deal, 3-for-2. Who's the player you're picking up? I understand technically you're losing the deal because you're giving up Ozuna and Weaver. They're going to put up better numbers than what Judge can do all by himself. But when you add in the player you're picking up, if you can look at it that way, if you could sell it sort of to yourself, then I think the deal is at least even here. I think Judge helps you more. That's exactly how I put it. With Eduardo Rodriguez, yes, I would do the deal.
Those of you waiting to hear more two-turn pitchers, I'll finally get to him without George sidetracking me yet again for like the third time every time I try to turn to talk about two-turn pitches. That's hopefully next here on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Why pay high rake when you can play daily fantasy baseball and play half the rake on Fantasy Draft? Featuring half-the-rake GPPs and head-to-head contests, exclusive VIP experiences, and the most flexible lineup structures in the game, Fantasy Draft is the only DFS site that puts players first. They are also the only site to offer 6 of 7 PGA scoring, dropping your lowest golfer score. Register today with the code FNTSY for a free $4 entry into a guaranteed winner contest in the sport of your choice. Fantasy Draft, daily fantasy on a level playing field. All right, George, we're going to try to talk two-turn pitchers here unless you got something else you want to talk about or you just don't want to talk about it.
I can give you some fantasy updates. You're like, Moncada's back in the lineup today.
You really don't want to talk about two-turn pitchers, do you?
Jay Bruce is out. Todd Frazier's out of the lineup today. Got spiked yesterday in the toe. Buxton could come back Wednesday for Minnesota. Pham's out. Ozuna's out. Contreras is out. Trumbo starts rehab tomorrow.
Why don't you want to talk about two-turn pitchers, or you just want to drive me crazy?
It's a little of both. I think it's more towards the crazy part. I was certainly looking for a topic to hit, and you fell right into that. You hung the curve, man.
Oh, boy. I like Harvey, the changeup, maybe. Just for that, I'll make you angry, and we'll talk about a guy from we'll talk about a guy who makes you angry. Masahiro Tanaka has 2 starts versus Minnesota and the Angels.
I guess you have to start them. I mean, they're decent hitting lineups. I don't love it. I think the Angels, I believe the Yankees are on the West Coast. So I'll be in Anaheim as well. Can you not start? That's 2 lousy starts in a row. I'll say it again. All right, the Boston one, they were beating everybody up. Doesn't bother me. Granted, the defense did not play well in the Miami start, but still. I mean, that's runs you give up to a bad team there. So I'm certainly concerned here. If it was a 1-start week, there'd be no doubt I'd be sitting him, Scott, because I wouldn't want to take the chance. I want to see him have a good start first. I'm leaning towards yes, but I'll admit it scares me.
Gio Gonzalez at San Francisco versus Arizona. I think you got to roll him out there, especially with the San Francisco start. J.A. Happ against Boston and Texas at home. That could be risky. Really depends on who else you have. Kenta Maeda off to an up and down start, but he's got Miami and San Francisco.
Yes. No choice. I mean, two terrible hitting lineups here. You know, it's what you said. I forget the name you mentioned the first time. If you're going up against San Fran, even in a bad one, it's almost always a yes because you're getting that good, that
he's
one good start.
Chris Stratton.
I'm doing it. It's just the lineups are just too good. You don't really worry. I don't worry all that much about the opposing starting pitcher, you know, unless it's a Chris Sale type where maybe you can't even get a W out of it. I'm starting him. I can't. Thing I always like to say, if you can't start him against these two, then why is he on your roster?
Jake Odorizzi at the Yankees versus Cincinnati. I got to get him in there just for the Cincinnati start.
Yeah.
And just hope he can keep the ball down against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. Kevin Gausman against the Indians and the Tigers.
I've got him in a couple of leagues. I'm starting him. You know, he's up and down. Pitched okay his last start. Yeah, me too. I don't like the Cleveland start, although they haven't started hitting yet. I do like the Detroit start. You know, I think it'll be okay there. So it's sort of a one-on-one thing here. But same situation.
Often is.
If I'm not starting him, you know, why is he on my roster? So, yeah, he goes for me. But I once again don't say this with a whole bunch of confidence.
Tyler Chatwood at Cleveland versus Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love it. I don't like it. Actually, I don't like it at all. At Cleveland, good hitting team. Milwaukee, we know they can hit, although that one's at home. But I'm going to ride with it. But he's a guy where if the guy I'm benching him for has one good start, you know, he's a one-star pitcher, it's a good start that I like, then I could sit him.
Steven Matz at St. Louis could be dicey at San Diego, but I'll take the shot that he at least gets a respectable start at St. Louis. Ian Kennedy. Pitched over his head for a little while, but then came back to earth in his last start, as the cliche goes. He's home against Milwaukee and the White Sox.
Yeah, we talked about him last week, and this was the problem. He was the hot guy, and sooner or later that was coming down. I don't like either start this week, but if you got him on your roster, I think this is the last hurrah this week, and then you're going to want to move on.
Zach Davies at Kansas City and at Chicago.
Yeah, the Kansas City start, I'll take it. You know, it just comes down to that. He's got one good start. And the Cubs really haven't hit a ton yet either. So it's one good start and one average start. I'm starting him.
Tyler Skaggs at Houston and versus the Yankees. I'm going to say no thank you. Yes.
I'll pass.
Chad Bettis is off to a good start, but most of his starts have been on the road. He is at home versus San Diego and at Miami. Kind of on the fence with Bettis there. I think it'll be one bad start and one good start.
If that San Diego start was a better offensive team, I'd be leaning no, but I'm leaning yes now because he's got the Miami start. Although it's against Garcia, who's pitched very well for really a junk bowling left-hander. So I'm
Even
leaning
he walked
yes
six
here, Scott.
Last time out.
Yeah, he tried to lose the game as much as he could. That was the Tanaka start, by the way. He tried to put the Yankees back in the game. That was the game where Giancarlo Stanton really hurt the Yankees offensively. I'm leaning yes because I'm not as worried about that San Diego offense.
Yeah, did you hear that they're building a new Giancarlo Stanton park in the Bronx?
I'm waiting for the joke.
Yeah, it's got three swings and a bench.
That's good. I'm going to have to steal that for you. I was laughing before. I didn't hear it, but I was laughing before you said it.
You knew something was coming, right?
I knew something was coming. That's good. That's good, Scott. I'm going to have to steal that from you.
Yeah. Vince Velasquez versus Arizona and versus Atlanta. I think I have to go with him there, especially with the Atlanta start. Chris Stratton against the Nationals and the Dodgers. Probably going to avoid that one. Brandon McCarthy's off to a good start, and he's at Cincinnati and at Philadelphia.
That's two band boxes. I know Cincinnati doesn't hit all that well. I'm leaning no for McCarthy.
Okay. Mike Leake at the White Sox and at Cleveland. I don't ever want to start Mike Leake. Adam Wainwright against the Mets in Pittsburgh. No, thank you. Jacob Faria at Baltimore and at Boston.
The Boston one automatically is almost a no for me. And even Baltimore, I know he's going up against Cobb right now, so a good chance for a W there because Cobb's been awful. But I'm not going against Boston. No thanks.
Alex Cobb, I won't take him against anybody. He faces Tampa Bay.
He's got a – listen, I love the matchups. And if you're in a deep league, I get it. Maybe he's going with them. But, until I see him do something, I can't start him. I don't want to, but that ERA is 15.43. No.
CC Sabathia versus Minnesota and at the Angels. That Angels start scares me the way the Angels are playing.
Minnesota's not all that great either. The problem with CC, you're only going to get five innings out of him, so getting a W by the CC is tough. You know, he's going up against Barrios. Granted, the Yankees beat up Barrios in that playoff game last year, but Barrios has looked great this year. Skaggs, I'm probably not as worried about, but it is in Los Angeles. No.
Harlan Garcia at the Dodgers and versus Colorado. I feel better about the Colorado start, but the Dodgers start scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, listen, watching him pitch the other day, he's a junk bowler, man. You mentioned the six walks he threw out there. The people are on base there. This is all coming crashing down. It's just a matter of when.
Okay, we got Tyler Mahle against Atlanta and Minnesota.
Guy, if he's on your roster, you're probably starting. I don't love him, but I don't hate him. They're both middle of the road starts for me here. I don't want to, Scott. He's another guy where if I have a better one star pitcher, who, you know, going up against San Diego, going up against Miami, I'm going with that guy. But other than that, I don't hate these starts, so I think about putting him in there, but I don't like it at all.
Marco Gonzalez with two starts, no thank you. Chad Kuhl versus Detroit and St. Louis, no thank you. That's two starts of mediocrity. Matt Moore versus Oakland and at Toronto, no thank you. Matt Wisler at Cincinnati and at Philadelphia.
No, two good hitters, ballparks there. I'm going to pass. I'll actually think about Kuhl, by the way. I'm not automatically saying no.
No, I'm cutting that guy today. I'm mediocre at best.
Oh, he's a mediocre pitcher, but if you're looking for a two-star week, you get Detroit. They're not really a great hitting team. He's going up against Jordan Zimmermann. Should score some runs there. Pittsburgh's playing well. Kuhl's pitched, his ERA's below four this year, and then he goes up against Wainwright. Another guy I don't truly believe in.
I've already
if you have Kuhl on your
like,
roster,
what, three or four starts of Kuhl, I had enough.
If you want to get rid of him, I have no problem with that because I don't believe in him long term. Yeah. But if you have one for this week, I'm probably putting him in.
I'd rather have Harlan Garcia than Chad Kuhl. Josh Tomlin against Chicago and Seattle.
Tough one, Josh Tomlin. Good chance for W's here. You got middle of the road. I'm leaning no. It depends on what categories you're trying to hit here. I'm not a big Tomlin believer. I think he's just an average starting pitcher at best who's going to lose his job when Santana's already. Leaning no, but once again, it always comes down to this to me, Scott. If he's on your roster, you're not starting him this week. Who are you starting over him? I mean, that's what's so tough for me here. If you have these guys on your roster and there's two... I don't think he'd be the one-start guy
Jason
I'm quite
Vargas.
Looking for.
Yeah.
No, I don't start with guys coming off the DL first start, not if I can avoid it. Something like Vargas, I would hate for him in a weekly lineup, this would be the week to him have two starts, because I want to see him pitch first. And if he has to,
I'd rather take somebody else with one start than risk some of these with two. And here's some other no thank yous. Jordan Zimmermann with two, Carson Fulmer with two, Trevor Cahill with two, James Shields with two, Miguel Gonzalez with two, Brian Mitchell with two, and Sal Romano with two. So no thank you on all of those unless you tell me otherwise.
No, I agree with these one. I'd much rather not start any of these guys.
Right, let's talk a little bit more NFL draft here since you finally let me get through the two-star pitchers.
You're welcome.
Remember, you can check out the mocks and complete scouting reports from Jake Seeley right now on rotoexperts.com. Number one is the Cleveland Browns. And on NFL.com, looks like the guys are split. Daniel Jeremiah has him taking Sam Darnold. Bucky Brooks has Josh Allen. Charlie Casserly is Sam Darnold. Maurice Jones-Drew, for some reason, has Saquon Barkley. I don't think they're going to take him number one overall.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'm worried about what Maurice Jones-Drew thinks. I mean, it seemed like it was Sam
really?
D early on,
what
right?
What do you got against Maurice Jones-Drew?
I don't know how much he's doing the studying or how much inside information he has. That's what I mean here. You know, I want the real guys who, you know, the Jay Glazer types, Adam Schefter. Those are guys, you know, are on the phones getting, you know, talking to people or the beat writers. You know, those are the guys that I believe know something, which is why I find interesting about the Giants because Dan Graziano thinks they're taking a quarterback, where a lot of people don't. So that, you know, it's fun. It's a fun time. I thought for the first last 2 months it was always going to be Sam Darnold, and all of a sudden, maybe not. You know, and now you have to wonder, is it the disinformation or are they finally got new stuff here? But either way, I believe it's a quarterback. I think what's interesting about this, if Cleveland doesn't take Darnold, I do believe that's who Gettleman wants. I think that's who he believes the franchise quarterback is.
MJD doesn't think that they're taking a quarterback at one or four, which I find odd.
Yeah, I mean, that's why there's... I guess you could convince me not to take Barkley at one, not to take a quarterback at one if they believe there are four franchise quarterbacks, and they'll take any one of the four, or I guess three franchise quarterbacks in this case. You know, then I could buy that. But other than that, I mean, Ken Dorsey's a legitimate GM, good GM. He's taking a quarterback at one. There's no way he's rolling with dice that the guy he wants will be there at four.
Okay. And Jake Seeley has them taking taking Sam Darnold. Number two, Jake Seeley has the Giants trading back with the Bills, and the Bills taking Josh Allen. On NFL.com, Daniel Jeremiah says Saquon Barkley. Charlie Casserly says Saquon Barkley. Bucky Brooks says Bradley Chubbs. And Maurice Jones-Drew says Josh Rosen.
I'm probably leaning more. I mean, I like Jake's theory here about the trade. Getting 12 and 22, maybe even something else. I think he would get something else. I don't know if it'll be a number one next year, but maybe 12, 22, and a two. You know, I don't know. So I think that could work out for the Giants here if they want to trade down. If not, I got to believe it's Barkley right now. I guess I'm buying into, unless Gettleman's trying to fool us all to force people to trade up. And that's why this is all guesswork here, because Gettleman could be playing this up. Oh, I'm Barkley. Love Barkley. It's going to be da-da-da-da-da just to get people to offer more in that trade up here. You know, then I do think there's a chance they trade down here because they might want additional picks. So if they keep the pick, I'll go Barkley.
All right. Jake Seeley's mock draft on rotoexperts.com. He has them taking the Jets taking Baker Mayfield. Although we're starting to hear a lot of Lamar Jackson buzz that they're going to take Lamar Jackson at number three. Daniel Jeremiah also has him taking Baker Mayfield. Bucky Brooks has the Jets taking Sam Darnold. Charlie Casserly has him taking Josh Rosen's. Maurice Jones-Drew says Sam Darnold. But there's been a lot of rumors now that the Jets are very hot on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance in hell that Darnold makes it that far. Because I think if Cleveland doesn't take him, I think the Giants are taking him in a heartbeat. So I don't think he's going to go that far. Jets were strange. I mean, the trade, everything they gave away to get the number three pick, you're assuming then there are three franchise quarterbacks here, that you love three guys. So I found that strange, yeah. But they're definitely taking a quarterback. I think it's Mayfield. I think if it's Jackson, I think it's Baker Mayfield.
What about all these reports coming out recently that they're so high on Lamar Jackson?
That concerns me. Once again, when I hear these new reports, it's by more than one person. You wonder if the new information, if someone's speaking, someone's talking, or what are they seeing in the past week or so that they didn't see for the last 3 months. You know, so you never know who's lying, who's telling.
Are they planting something for a trade here?
Right.
Getting somebody else to trade up.
Exactly. I think the Jets are taking a quarterback. That's the bottom line here. There's no way they're not taking a quarterback.
All right, and then at number four, Jake has the Browns taking Bradley Chubb, as well as Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com, and Maurice Jones-Drew and Charlie Casserly, Bucky Brooks of NFL.com, of the ones we're looking at, is the only one that has them going with Saquon Barkley at number four.
Well, it depends what you believe. It'll be Chubb.
Everybody on NFL.com has the Broncos going quarterback at number five, but Jake has the Broncos going Saquon Barkley.
I don't think Barkley makes it that far. I think four quarterbacks take, Cleveland trades out of four, then I think the Broncos take the offensive tackle, whose name escapes me, has all show. If not, I think the Broncos, I mean, Chubb could work out there. You pair him with Von Miller, that's a monster line.
Yeah. Are you probably talking about the guard, though, and maybe not the tackle?
No, it's the tackle.
Quentin, and that's not Quentin Nelson?
I think that is great. I think it's Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, he's listed as a guard.
I think I don't have enough time to show to look here, but I think Elway.
By the way, Jake has the Dolphins trading up number six to get Josh Rosen.
And giving up on Tannehill. Interesting.
Yes.
Dolphins are what? Oh, I think Tannehill's terrible. I don't mind doing it, and it wouldn't cost them a ton. They're at 11 right now.
All right, as always, thanks a lot, George Kurtz, and our producer, Pete Considori. We'll see you next week on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.